Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homewood Casino Resort, the player's place.
Final hour, Ben and Paul here on a Thursday, and then we'll head over to our sound space for our Padres Roundtable Pizza Roundtable from 10 to 11 o'clock, commercial free. So lots of Padres talk still coming up, but right now we're going to change gears just a little bit. Very excited as they come off of their Leagues Cup competition, SDFC, getting ready to return to MLS play this weekend. They'll be on the road at Sporting Kansas City, and joining us right now is the Sporting Director, a.k.a. GM of San Diego FC, Tyler Heaps, is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Tyler, great to have you on again. How are you feeling this morning?
Thanks for having me. I feel good. Obviously, coming off of a result here on Tuesday and then getting ready to travel with the team tomorrow, but excited to be back in MLS play. We got a final push for this thing with 9 games to go, and then obviously hopefully the playoffs to follow. So just really trying to gear up for that, get guys healthy, and see what we can do the rest of the way.
I've loved this year in particular. I know this is funny, getting to learn some of the soccer lingo as kind of a newbie to MLS. The way you say getting a result, that always means a win, although technically isn't a loss a result as well?
Yeah, but it's all like, it's a good point. It's a very soccer heavy term, but like a result's also a tie. I don't think if I said get a result, a loss would not be what I'm referring to. It's okay. More a tie or a win. So like when you go on the road, sometimes the difficult environment, you say, ideally we get a result. We're referring to a tie or a win. We just don't want to put the pressure on the group sometimes of trying to force yourself to go on the road and get wins because it's also difficult to do in the league.
All right, that makes sense to me now. So a result is a win or a tie because you're getting a point or more in
correct
the standings. So Padres got a result last night against the Arizona Diamondbacks, which was good, 3-2. That's now they don't have the option of a tie. All right, so now that they're, I think, 9 matches left, first place in the Western Conference, give us your overall kind of state of the state where SDFC stands now heading into the final couple months of the regular season.
Yeah, I think the results, you can look at the table, and I think people would say we've done an all right job. And I think what I'm probably most proud of is the culture that we've built, and then also just the drive and what this team wants to still do. I think we can, we're putting ourselves in the best position to finish as high as possible. Obviously, the playoffs are a little bit different here, too. You'll probably figure out that very quickly as we get into it, but it's a best of 3 series first, and then you go on the, and then it goes single elimination. So, anything can obviously happen. I think from our standpoint, it's about taking it 1 game at a time. We got 6 on the road and 3 at home to end the year. And so, trying to get guys healthy, trying to start playing our way and make sure we're doing the performances in a good way. And I think the results will take care of itself as they've done this entire year so far.
Talking to Tyler Heaps, Sporting Director for SDFC. And one thing that we've learned, and we talk with Darren Smith, one of your broadcasters, he comes on every Friday, is the way you're doing this as a new expansion team without necessarily the depth that other teams have, like an academy youth roster to pull up from, that you're having to do this kind of on the fly this year and managing to get through all these matches that you play. Talk about what you had to do here at the transfer window, because I know you've added a couple of new players, including another announcement yesterday, another local kid from Escondido, Corey Barrett, adding to the roster. How did this transfer window impact your team?
Yeah, I think Darren makes a good point. This has been the most unique and will be the most unique year we ever have. Obviously, we just started our academy class here on Sunday, but those are obviously very young. It's 2011, 2012, so those will take a little while before they start getting integrated into the first team. But from our standpoint, it was about finding balance on the roster, so that's how we approached the original roster build of how we went out and got it. And obviously, we've had to a few guys obviously have left us, which mean a few guys have come in, and we've really tried to attack kind of those young high potential players. So I know the Padres kind of traded all their prospects. We're trying to trade in all those prospects, but also make sure that they still have an opportunity right from the bat. So we had one young player, David Vasquez, who's just started the last 2 games. We had Pedro Soma, our new signing, make his debut on Tuesday. And I think they showed, for those that were at Snapdragon and those were watching on TV, what type of players those are. And I think they're ready to perform right away. And we went out and got Corey Barrett, as you mentioned, another local guy. And he's somebody that's had a lot of success in this league. He was on a very good Houston team and put up really good numbers. Obviously, his most recent form in Cincinnati hasn't been the greatest, but that's because they don't play, I think, to his strengths, and we think we can. So getting a guy like him in our locker room, someone who's been through the playoff push before, someone that's been in the postseason in MLS a lot of his years in this league, we think he can help from a culture standpoint. We think he can help push the group of forwards that we have currently and add to it. So we're not done yet. I think we'll still have one or two more potentially coming in, still trying to figure out what those pieces look like and make sure that they make sense from a salary cap and everything else. But trying to prepare for now, but we're also trying to prepare for the future so that we don't leave ourselves short in years to come.
Tyler, can you kind of explain the Milan Olaski situation to fans? I know it's complex and there's salary cap, you know, situations that you have to deal with. I feel like if the Padres acquired a player and he hit 10 home runs in a month, like the fans would go crazy. How can you let this guy go? He's been so good. But I know there are other considerations that were involved here. What's kind of the overall kind of explanation of how that went down?
Yeah, I'll say the overall explanation is that both sides wanted to get a deal done. We wanted Milan to stay for a number of different reasons, obviously his performance on the field, but also his connection to San Diego and everything else that came with it. And I think he wanted to get it done as well. The fact is that a lot of times short-term success obviously can lead to differing opinions about where they should be from a salary standpoint, and that's exactly what happened. I think what Milan's done in those, you could even call it, I'm not even going to call it 13 games, which is what he played. I'm going to call it 4 or 5 games, right? Because he had 6 goals in 2 games. What he did in those, I don't think will ever happen in MLS again, that scoring record in that short amount of time. And obviously he, at that moment, was trying to capitalize on his moment. And so he asked for numbers that we thought were much higher than where we intended to see him in the roster long term. And so we tried to work together. We had many different conversations. We tried to do short-term deals. We tried to do a long-term deal. We tried to do be as creative as possible, where we protected ourselves and this and the organization, and where obviously we saw him fit, and he was trying to do the same. And at the end of the day, we couldn't come to terms. I wouldn't say we left on quote-unquote bad terms. Obviously, we wished him the best of luck, and I still wish him the best of luck. You never know. The sports world is a small world. You never know if he can come back around. But the reality was is that we both wanted to make a deal work. He was trying to negotiate on very short-term success, and we knew the player very well because he had been in our organization for 18 months. So he's a player that Mikey and I first talked to over 12 months ago at Northland, and really had a conversation about where he saw himself and what he wanted to do in his career. We offered him an opportunity then that obviously didn't work out, and then he came back this time around. So it's an ever complex thing. There are so many different factors that go into it. But from our standpoint, it was we just couldn't get him to agree to a short-term or a long-term deal, and obviously he backed himself to go find that somewhere else.
If Woods was here, he would probably admit to you that he has a bit of a man crush on Mikey Varas, your head coach. Just the way he kind of carries himself, what he says when he talks to the media, how he seems to approach his team and every day. How happy have you been with that selection? Because I'm sure you had a lot of different coaches in mind that could have been the fit. And how good of a fit has he been for this team, this system, and this expansion season?
It's a funny one because, again, I think I got a little bit of stick for hiring Mikey because he wasn't this big name guy. And I think I had an opportunity to talk to 30 plus head coaches in that process. And Mikey was the one that I was excited every single time I got off the phone with him. And I think he's proven that he is one more than capable to coach at this level. And I think he's done an unbelievable job, and I think he's a perfect head coach fit, but I also think he's perfect for this community. I think the way he connects with the fans, the way he connects with the media, the way he approaches his day-to-day business, he's a terrific soccer coach first and foremost. He knows tactics better than some of the best I've worked with, but he also knows how to connect with human beings, and I think that's what makes him special and kind of puts him on another level. It's helped with our culture build here. He's got all the players behind him. You mentioned the style of play. He's very aligned to how we want to play football and how I see football, and so him and I have a really good connection and have obviously continued to build that. So he's been, in my eyes, he's been perfect for us so far. Again, we'll see now whenever we start to ramp up and get to the end of the season, but I have total confidence and faith in him as well as the staff that we've built together. I think they've been fantastic for us, and I'm really looking forward to see how we end the season and the years to come.
All right, couple things before we go. First of all, Tyler has brought along with him, or at least his staff has helped him bring along, some tickets to give away to the next home match for SDFC on August 23rd against Portland. So we're going to give those away at the end. Just wanted to let everybody know, courtesy of SDFC, a chance to win some tickets coming up. But before that, got a couple of road matches, including this Saturday at Kansas City. What are we kind of looking at here to start the, it feels like the second half of the season. I know we're more than halfway through, but kind of after the League's Cup and back to competition, feels like there is a definite line, a point where you're kind of crossing here going into the last year.
Yeah, no, Kansas City would be a difficult opponent. We obviously played them at home. We drew the game 0-0. We were disappointed with it. We thought, obviously, we probably did enough in the game to earn a better result. But I think we'll go there. I think we'll control the game. Again, we've got a lot of our guys in a good way at the moment. So hopefully we can go there. Ideally, we can score early. I think we've done a really good job in these League Cup games, starting us from a performance wise really well in the first 15, 20 minutes of games, but we haven't been able to capitalize. So that's been a focal point this week from our group, is how do we try to be ruthless in those first 10 to 15 minutes? Because if we can score early on teams and we start making them chase the game, it opens up space, and that's where I think we can really kill them. So hopefully we can go there. The team will travel tomorrow. We play, obviously, here will be in the afternoon on the Saturday. So ideally we can go there, get a result. And then, we got another quick turnaround where we go up North California, obviously San Jose. And then, as you mentioned, Portland at home. We've got three games left at home, and those are going to be crucial ones. Every game at home is obviously important, but the more we can get these fans behind us, which they've been fantastic so far, especially that game against Portland, which would be a key game in terms of where the playoff seed, could lie.
Oh, there's that soccer lingo again. You got a result against them last time. You just want to get a better result. Or as we'd say, you got a tie. You just want to win this time. Right? We totally get it now. We totally understand. Tyler, best of luck to you, SDFC, going forward. Appreciate those tickets. We're going to give them out away. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to being back.
There is sporting director, a.k.a. GM, Tyler Heaps of SDFC, that is looking for a result, but not just any result, like a good result.
A good result.
This week at Sporting KC. And then a couple weeks, they'll be back home, Snapdragon Stadium, third to last home game of the season. And if you want to win a four-pack of tickets, courtesy of Tyler and SDFC, be our sixth caller right now at 833-288-0973. It's Pride Night, presented by Alaska Airlines on August 23rd. At Snapdragon Stadium, 7:30 kickoff on the pitch. San Diego versus the Portland Timbers, is it? I believe
yes.
It is. Yes, the
Timbers
on August 23rd. 833-288-0973. Good luck. We will take a quick timeout and then get back to the Padres talk. Sammy Levitt's going to join us as well to talk about his experience the last 3 days calling games at Chase Field alongside Bob Scanlon. It's all coming up after a check of traffic with Bennett Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
All right, if you're calling in, hang on 1 second. I'm going to talk about 7 Mile Casino before Paulie picks our winner for the ticket. 7 Mile is my spot to play cards in San Diego. It should be your spot as well. So many reasons, but the biggest, of course, is proximity. It's just 7 miles from downtown. 7-minute drive right down the 5 freeway. And even if you're not downtown, it's almost certainly way closer than any of your other options. And it's way better as well. It's upscale. It's clean, comfortable, friendly. Great dealers, great chairs. You know, you just want a comfortable chair to sit at when you're playing, you know, sitting down at a Texas Hold'em table for a couple of hours. And the restaurant at Sammy's is always top notch. So many reasons to head down to 7 Mile Casino. And if you are a high limit player, they always like me to remind you, great high limit action as well. If you're looking for like a no limit table with a little higher limits and you got a bit of a bankroll, you want serious players, serious action, they're going to take care of you. 7 Mile Casino is a great place for that. They also give you discounts for food at the table, 35% off the great food at Sammy's while you're playing cards, or just enjoy it inside the restaurant with the full bar, TVs, and the patio that overlooks San Diego Bay right there onto the water, looking out toward Coronado and the Silver Strand. It's absolutely beautiful. You want to stay on the coast this time of year. We're in like record-breaking heat today. Don't head out where it's 112. Stick around on the coast where it's going to be like, you know, 75 degrees. Much, much nicer at 7 Mile Casino. It's our spot. Make it yours. 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations to Joel, called in, won the SDFC tickets, courtesy of Tyler Heaps. Tyler was great. Tyler
That's
also
awesome.
Talks very fast. I mean, he got a lot of words into that interview. I mean, that was like a 12-minute interview with like 20 minutes worth of content. If you were if you're an SDFC fan, you had a lot of good information in that, including
He's
his explanation
sharp
about his explanation about Milan Alaski, which I know it sucks to lose a player who has contributed so much, but I also know what he's saying. And he's trying not to – he's walking a fine line because he wants to obviously appreciate what Milan Alaski has done. But he's essentially saying it's a good player who went on an insanely hot streak. It's like if you take –
the comparison.
It's like you take a good, solid middle infielder.
Hang on. How about Jurickson Profar last year?
Perfect example.
That's exactly
Paul.
Who I was thinking of. Jurickson this is a guy
Profar.
That you know, you love, and now don't mind his suspension that we didn't know about at the time that was on its way here in Atlanta, but like that was a guy that we loved. He was a spark plug on the team. Everybody loved him, just the greatest clubhouse guy, had an insane year and wanted to capitalize on it as he rightly should.
Right, but let's say Jurickson Profar became a free agent at the All-Star break last year.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's going like,
it's a little bit different.
I want to be paid like Shohei Ohtani because I am producing like Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
And everyone's going like, yeah, you're great. We love you, Jurickson, but we don't really expect you to keep up this pace because it's insane. Nobody can, and we've seen enough of you. That's just ridiculous.
We know this now, is not going to keep
You've definitely earned a bump in pay, and that's what Tyler was saying. Yeah, we definitely wanted to keep Milan Alaski and give him a pay raise, but he wanted to get paid like, I'm going to score 4 goals every single game, and you know I'm like Messi here, and they're going like, we just can't quite go that far, especially with the salary cap. So I get what he was saying. He's not trying to insult like Milan Alaski. He's just gambling that no one's going to have a run like that ever again, and you can't pay for goals that have already been scored. You're paying for the player you think you're getting in the future, a solid, you know, winger, good offensive player, but not the greatest player in league history, which is what Milan Alaski was on pace to be. Like, oh, okay, you keep this up, and you will literally be Ronaldo, you know, and you will be the greatest soccer player the planet has ever seen.
Dude, but I sympathize with Tyler. That. I sympathized with him when he was telling that walking us through that process, and I'm like, man, that's got to be so tough. And he even like clarified, he's like, look, like, there's no bad blood, we wished him well and he understands and we understand and we get it, but like, you know, in the moment during those negotiations and the whole process, like, that's got to hurt if you're Milan Alaski, and if you're even if you're the SDFC, you're like, I know why you're doing this and I don't blame you for doing this, but we just can't reach a deal here. We have to let you go. It's just not going to happen. And that hurts as Tyler Heap's position with the team. And if you're Milan Alaska, you're like, what more do you guys want from me? Like, come on, I'm trying to get paid here.
All right, still stings to lose a guy like that, but they feel like in Corey Baird, who is the new player, he said, is a guy who kind of fits their system, the depth role that they really kind of need. They already have their star players, and they're named Anders Dreyer and Chucky Lozano. And they pay them like star players. They make millions, and they're designated players that don't count against the salary cap. And it just sounds like they just didn't see Milan Alaski as a superstar player like Anders Dreyer or Chucky Lozano. Yeah. And as little as I know about soccer, I do believe that's true, that he's not on their level. They're on a different level in terms of creating opportunities, because it was Anders Dreyer who created a lot of those opportunities for Milan Alaski to score the goal. Who's the more valuable guy in soccer? The guy who scores the goal, yeah, it's big, but the guy who draws the three defenders and then makes the amazing pass to the wide-open guy who then puts it into a wide-open net, I mean, yes, you get all that celebration and you get to everyone hugs you,
But it's the other guy who did all the work in drawing the defense and setting you up and putting the ball perfectly on your foot. And that did happen a few of the times when Milan Alaski scored the goal. I know enough about soccer to know that really it's the assist is almost as important, if not more important, than the actual goal in soccer. Depending on the assist, obviously, you know, they're not all created equally, but that's an important thing to keep in mind. All right, I have no idea when the next time we will give away tickets is going to be. It could be weeks from now. It could be minutes from now. Just keeping that in mind.
And for everybody, I mean, our phone lines blew up for those SDFC tickets. And I did not hear if you mentioned it. We do have another four-pack of tickets to give away tomorrow.
That's right. You want to listen in.
Don't call right now.
Tyler brought eight tickets for us. We're just giving away four today and four tomorrow. So another chance if you didn't get through today. Before we do anything else, though, before we get to Sammy, it is a throwback Thursday. And Paulie mixing it up today. Because instead of going back like on this date in Ben and Wood's history, which is what you usually do, you thought, why don't we expand it and just bring back some fun things occasionally that we just don't do anymore?
Yeah, it kind of worked out really well this week. I don't particularly remember how we got into it. I think it was like Monday
it was
or maybe
me,
even Tuesday.
Because I was a flub machine on television.
That's what it was.
On Monday. And I was I could not get through the words.
Yeah.
And
so
my
we
producer
started talking
was like
about
laughing.
Flubs.
Like, I've seen you flub more in tonight than I have in 20 years combined of television.
Yeah.
And Paulie said, well, then we need to bring back flubs.
And we revisited a couple of them that morning and we laughed about it. And I just thought, all right, how about like at least once a month, you know, maybe on weeks where we don't have a great audio clip from this week in the past to go visit, like, why not bring back something? So I thought, now we did flubs of the week. Like, if you're a new listener, you have no idea what's coming, but if you've been around for a few years, we did this every Friday. It's how we ended the show, because we would just like add this running list of flubs. Now it's mostly Ben, but you'll hear some from me, you'll hear some from Woodsy as well. And so without any further ado, on a throwback Thursday, let's get to some flubs of the week.
Browns, Bengals, Ravens, 3-2-2 teams in that division. Ballast Point Beer, the official craft beer of the San Diego Padres, had Ballast Point in Little India.
He's not 35.
But he will be before the contract is done.
What is a contract?
Holiday season is almost here.
30 days, half September.
And that is for a Wednesday. Ben Woods, back after a check of traffic on 97.3 FAM. He's got the fifth most wins coaching time, all-time coaching.
Fifth most.
February 12th, State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. State Farm Stadium.
That's not what I heard.
That's not what I heard either.
Our first sound from Padres Spring Training 2013.
Here we go.
I think when a veteran pitcher is having success with those numbers. 6-year history of Major League Rugby.
Rugby?
Sam Springgate, San Diego's number one sports station. 93 The Fan.
We're just talking about Landon Jonovan.
Who is Landon Jonovan?
Back after a check of traffic here on 91.37 The Fan. Almost the entire 97.3 The Crew is coming out.
And then, of course, Joe Darvish and the kettlebell on the toe. Paul Reindl. It's our executive producer, YouTube director.
What's the director?
He's the director.
The soccer, they haven't lost the season all home, so we need you out there.
Greg Elston will join us with some streaming.
Streaming
television. In which Grammy-winning Beatles song does Paul McCartney sing about the words that go together well?
He was our man on the scene in the Beast of the Belly Dodger Stadium
on the premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan.
What is Carlsbad?
Are you okay?
What is happening right now?
If you like brisket and you're not going to Grand Ole Barbecue, you're doing it wrong in North Park at Flynn Springs and
what
out
is
at
North
the ballpark. North Park. 97.3 The Fan.
Paul's got some really good audio coming up in the Reindl Report as well from Gabe Kapler, manager of the Giants, that you won't want to stay tuned for.
Sits down and talks to the owner of the Baltimore Orioles, Peter Angelos. Orioles. Oh. What'd I say?
To wrap up our 90s country theme for the week. Seem to enjoy playing for Bob Melvin. Bob Melvin.
Who is Bob Melvin? What did we win? We won something. Here we go. There it is.
Good job, Woodsy.
Good job, who?
Woodsy. The Baseball Writers Association. Try that again.
That's all, folks.
Oh, my God. I forgot how good some of those are.
They do hit a little differently after a little time off.
Wow. I mean, quick analysis. Two of my favorites. First of all, I particularly loved the one about the Rindle report where you tried to say that you won't want to miss or that you want to stay tuned for. And instead, your tease to the Rindle report was...
Paul's got some really good audio coming up in the Rindle report as well from Gabe Kapler, manager of the Giants, that you won't want to stay tuned for.
What a... I mean, you do not want to hear this.
I had forgotten. We also have North Pork. We had Petco Pork, of course.
And North Pork.
Now, did you hear Jesse tell his joke last night on the broadcast to Mud?
I don't know that I heard that one.
His joke about the umpires had to get a ruling. Guy hit the ball into the outfield, and there was, what was it, a pig roaming around. And, you know, pigs, they will eat anything. So the pig ate the baseball, and the manager's going out and arguing, and one guy says it should be a double. The other guy says, you know, no, this should be a home run. The umpires get together, and they finally issue a ruling, and they say it's a home run. They go, well, it's an inside the pork home run.
Pretty good.
Jesse actually told that on a Major League Baseball broadcast last night.
I was so happy
when I heard Jesse tell that joke last night on the Padres broadcast.
I just want one more flub. I think this is the all-time, and I remember thinking the same way in the moment when we had this recorded like 4 years ago. The ultimate flub is when Woods flubs, and then you try to call him out or make fun of him, and you end up flubbing.
Flooding. Yeah.
What did we win? We won something. Here we go. There it is.
Good job with it.
What the good hell was that?
Good job with it.
That was in the phase when I was having three scotches right before the show.
Good job with it.
What did we win? We won something. Here we go. There it is.
Good job with it.
Like Dudley Moore with a cocktail here. Good job, Woody.
Good job, Woody.
All right. It's time. You may have figured it out, but we're actually going to give away some Padres tickets right now.
What?
We got another pair to give away for a Friday night's Cocktail Fest at Petco Park.
Good job, Benny.
We've cleared the lines. And don't call too fast because we're going to take the 10th caller. So, if you're calling right now, too early. Now call 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We got another pair of tickets. Big series against the Boston Red Sox this weekend. And what a pitching lineup. Nick Pivetta, Michael King, and Dylan Cease over the next 3 days. Friday is Cocktail Fest. You can shake up your night from the time the gates open to the first pitch at 6:40. $5 drink specials tomorrow night. And live music in Gallagher Square. And you can win tickets right now at 833-288-0973. Get your tickets. There are still tickets available this weekend. You don't want to miss it. This team is hot. They're taking on the Sox. They got their pitcher back in Michael King. Get your tickets at Padres.com/tickets. Big series this weekend because then they go right back out on the road for a week. So you do not want to miss this one. 833-288-0973. We'll come back with the... erstwhile voice of the San Diego Padres while Jesse Agler is doing television. Sammy Levitt will join us coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Good job with it.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Highly suspicious, Pauly. Well, we just gave away the Padres tickets to the 10th caller, and it just happened to be one of our chat moderators, Diesel. Congratulations on winning the tickets. I can vouch for the fact I saw Pauly, went through the first 9 callers, and the 10th caller came up. Have no idea who it is.
Didn't say Diesel.
It doesn't say Diesel.
It said
Didn't
Diesel.
Know who it was.
It just said his real name.
But I can see why everyone would scratch their head and go, very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, it's very rare that someone from our YouTube stream wins the ticket. So congratulations to Diesel, who got in today, and look at it. Rigged. We demand a recount. you're all just jealous that his fast fingers were perfect this morning, and he won the Padres tickets. We'll have one more pair, I believe, to give away tomorrow.
No,
that game was day. Last. Tomorrow's game day.
Padres,
that's it.
We have four pack of tickets to
SDFC tomorrow. All right. Well, you can think what you want. I will vouch for Paulie's integrity over there. There was nothing fishy about the giveaway, but Diesel, enjoy those tickets. I think he said it's his wife's birthday, so now he doesn't have to get her a present. Perfect. All right, this hour at 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by U.S. Wellness Meats. Order her some Wellness Meats for her birthday. They offer 100% grass-fed beef, pork, poultry, wild-caught seafood, and more. Ship free from family farms. Get 20% off your first order at uswellnessmeats.com. All right, we're going to take a last look at traffic, and then Sammy Levitt. Oh, Sammy, did such a great job
what
the last 3 days.
Kid.
What a week it's been. Cap it off with a dramatic ninth inning rally to win. Get his thoughts on his experience at Chase Field the last couple of days. Next on 97.3 The Fan. Well, that must have been pretty thrilling. I mean, just the opportunity to get to call Major League Baseball games, get to go on the road with the team plane, team hotel, but then cap it off last night with a game-tying home run and then a game-winning single for Jose Iglesias. Sammy Levitt joins us here on 97.3 The Fan. Sam, you've earned an off day, but we had to talk to you this morning.
Well, I appreciate it, and you're right. I got two very good games to wrap up the series. The extra inning win on Tuesday in 11, a five-run 11th inning, which was fun to call, and then yesterday, obviously, a big home run for Ryan O'Hearn and Iglesias, the RBI single. You've got Mason Miller throwing 103 to end the game. So it was really, really fun. As always, a huge thank you to Bob Scanlon, who is just terrific to work with, and Dave Marcus, who makes it all very easy. You know, I've said this to a few people. I think the hardest thing maybe of you know, doing the games at this level is you just have so many ad reads and elements you got to get in throughout the broadcast, and Dave makes it super easy to follow and make sure we stay on track. So a big thank you to those guys and really everybody, TJ Lucida, traveling secretary, and Jesse and Mudd and Mike Pomerantz and Tiffany, Darren, all the PR people. They helped me through the trip, made sure I was in the right place at the right time, and it was a really, really fun experience and a really, really good series win. So a lot of fun all the way around.
Now, Sammy, after a game like that with a big game-tying home run, big moment for Ryan O'Hearn, occasionally on like the national telecast, like MLB Network or ESPN, they will play like big radio highlights when they're doing their shows. Did you do any scanning like this morning just to see if Sam Levitt's voice appeared on any on network broadcasts today?
Well, I'll watch like Quick Pitch on MLB Network, and they get some of the radio in there. It depends on the game. I mean, I watch a lot of that stuff daily, so I know they get a lot of the radio in there mixed in with the TV call. So I'm in there a little bit. I did watch a little bit of that on the play in the game recap. But to be honest with you, I mean, I've already, just now I was listening to the first couple of innings from yesterday, and I was doing that throughout the series and just kind of hearing how I was sounding and, you know, trying to evaluate little things you could, do a little bit better the next day. So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely guilty of that, going back and listening and seeing if I'm in any of these highlight packages. And luckily I've got in there a little bit throughout the series. So it's really cool. There's no doubt about it. And again, the good news is that there were a couple of really, really big wins and memorable wins, which is always pretty fun.
You mentioned the team plane on the way back. What was the mood like? I mean, obviously what happens on the team plane stays on the team plane, but what can you share with us from your first experience really traveling with a major league team this week?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I think, actually doing the games, the good news is that because I did a couple last year, I really, to be honest, didn't feel any butterflies or nervousness about doing the games. And I also think that's part of just being around the ballpark and the team and the people every day. So it feels very regular to me. And I think I may have said this to you at some point last year, rather than coming up from the minor leagues, let's say, if that had been the case last year where everything's new and the ballpark is big and brand new and the environment is big and brand new and it feels really big. I think it was, you know, last year it was definitely an advantage, and same thing this year, to be around it most days, right, and have a real level of comfort with the team and the atmosphere. As far as the traveling, I mean, you know, again, I give so much credit to the Padres. It is so seamless. I will be honest, you know, look, I was trying to, you know, just kind of be where I was supposed to be, not get in the way. I was very timid getting on the plane, make sure I was sitting in the right seat. I will fully admit, you know, I talked to Jesse and a few people about, hey, when I get on the bus, where do I sit? When I get on the plane, where do I sit? And made sure I was in the right spots. But it's just seamless. I mean, they do such a great job moving everybody from point A to point B, getting all the equipment and luggage from point A to point B. So, yes, you know, the charter experience, I was super impressed with how efficient and quick and a well-oiled machine the whole operation is. It is pretty amazing, and you know, pretty nice flight too. So yeah, it was definitely a very cool experience, and I definitely kind of looked around on the plane and, you know, was thinking about the minor league bus, and it felt a long way from there. It did. And I, you know, I heard you guys talking earlier in the week. Yes, there was definitely a few moments, I think, of the travel experience of being able to be part of a trip at that level, where it was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And I'm really grateful I'm getting able to experience this. I really, really am. And it felt a long way from, you know, the bus from Corpus Christi to Springfield back in 2017, 2018, sitting there for 13 hours and getting off at the gas station and grabbing a snack. Yes, it did feel very different, and I would be lying if I said that thought did not cross my mind a couple of times during the trip. But I mean, really impressive operation, a well-oiled machine, and could not have been smoother for me. So again, a big thank you to TJ Lucida. And, you know, the whole operation there, it was fun to be a part of and pretty impressive.
Well, you finally said it there towards the end. I'm just glad. I wanted you to say, just Sammy, that was a very professional and diplomatic and solid answer. And you thanked everybody you needed to thank. But just, it was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely was. Yeah, it definitely was.
I was so happy and so excited for you, man. You deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really cool. It was definitely, you know, if last year was certainly the debut, and it was awesome, and it was Petco Park, and it was packed, and the Padres were playing well, and I got to call big moments last year, which was awesome. You know, goosebump inducing for sure. This was definitely another thing on the list. And a different experience too, you know, just a different experience than going to Petco Park, where, you know, I go so much and know really well. So, I can't lie. It was very, 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 very cool to get that big league travel experience and see the operation. And, it was a lot of fun. I'm very, very grateful that I got to experience that. And look, I do think, you know, being in the minors for as long as I did, it gives me, you know, it gives me a little perspective on it, right? Where I can sit back and think about it, and not much different than I think how a player feels, you know, when they get those opportunities, right? There, you know, the bottom line is there is a big difference in a lot of ways between, you know, double A and triple A and the big leagues. The big leagues are the big leagues for a reason, and there's no doubt that the travel experience feels that way, which is pretty cool.
There are very few Dave Winfields who just come right to the big leagues without spending a day in the minor leagues, and you definitely put in your time. So very happy for you, Sammy. Now, you're not the only one who was traveling with the team for the first time. Had a bunch of new players who were also probably getting a chance to bond a little bit. You know, when they just got there the weekend, most of the players just trying to adjust and, you know, wrap their heads around being on a new team. This is actually a chance for Ramon Laureano and Ryan O'Hearn and Freddie Fermin and Nestor Cortes to start, you know, bonding with their new teammates, Mason Miller. I get the sense they fit in pretty well, Sammy. You've been in the clubhouse the last few days. Do you feel like, personality-wise, all these guys are a really good fit for the Padres?
Yeah, I do, from what I can tell and from what I saw, for sure. I mean, you know, I think Ryan O'Hearn fits right in, you know, with this group. I mean, I've heard great things about Freddie Fermin, and my goodness, I mean, it looks different, right? I mean, it shows you the power of a catcher that can really deliver offensively. And look, he's done nice things defensively too so far, but it shows you the power of that kind of upgrade behind the plate. Nestor Cortes, you know, look, I know he wasn't great last night, but you got to keep in mind it was his first major league start in more than 4 months. Like when Skins and I talked about it on the broadcast last night, you know, I think it probably was unfair to think he was going to go out there and throw seven scoreless yesterday, and he kept you in the game. He wasn't perfect, but I think there's promise there. I mean, he's been very, very good when healthy in his career. So I'm intrigued by Nestor. I also really like talking to him. He's a really good interview, and I think you guys would enjoy it as well if you get the chance. You know, obviously Mason Miller, you know, having, you know, that's the other thing that I think stands out, you know, and not just from a personality standpoint. I think Miller brings a lot too, and he's going to fit right in. But man, the optionality with this bullpen to be able to go to, you know, Jason Adam as early as they went to him, you know, a couple of times in this series. And it's amazing to see the optionality they have out of that pen and how they can mix and match and shorten a game when they've got all those guys available. And it does make you dream about what that could look like in a postseason series and what an incredible advantage that could be. So yeah, it's been on full display. I mean, to this point, the additions have been great. And yeah, from what I can tell, like, I think those guys fit in really, really nicely. And how could, you know, shame on me for not mentioning Ramon Laureano. You know, I tweeted this, a few days ago after the trade, and, you know, Ramon is somebody I know going back to 2017 with the Corpus Christi Hooks at AA. And it was kind of cool. He remembered exactly who I was when I saw him for the first time, which I really appreciated. And he is just a hard worker, hard nosed type of player who's having a great year, and he's been great. So talk about fitting right in. He's just like a baseball guy and wants to play and likes to be around competitive people. And I think he's going to fit in really well. So they've been great. They fit in, and you perform the way they have. And I think, you know, you're going to fit in just fine, including Laureano.
Sammy and Ramon reminiscing about the good old days in Double A.
It was something. No, I so appreciated that. I walked the first time I saw him.
That's cool.
He remembered exactly who. I was like, wow. I didn't know. You know, I'm not assuming that. That's a long time ago, and I was like, wow. You know, and to be honest, back then I was like the number two broadcaster. I wasn't even the main guy, and I didn't always travel with him. So yeah, Ramon Laureano earned points in my book for that, and the way he's playing speaks for itself.
Well, you did such a good job that Adam Klug did not even ask you to come in and do the roundtable with us, even though we're a man short. That's how much he appreciates you, apparently, Sammy. So enjoy the rest of your day off while we all go head over for another hour of Padres talk this morning on the roundtable, and we'll hear you on the pregame show tomorrow.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sammy Lovett, voice of the Padres. I mean, you know, one of the voices of the San Diego Padres. How cool does that sound?
Padres broadcaster,
that
Sam
is awesome.
Lovett.
That is awesome. All right, tomorrow Woods will be back. Travel permitting, should be on his way now at 6 a.m. We will see you then with Woodsy. Polly, I will see you over in the sound space for our Roundtable Pizza Roundtable.
Okay.
In just moments, don't go anywhere. The fun continues on San Diego's number one sports station, 91.37 The Fan.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.